Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Journey with Judy. Honest, open, transparent. It's hot.
There's no such thing as
good morning, and thank you for choosing to tune in with Judy Hare right here on Journey with Judy on Lake 96.1. Guys, I have the greatest life ever. I find myself walking around literally in the course of a day and just saying out loud that I have the greatest life ever. It is just so amazing that I can do what I do to such a degree that I can't even believe I get paid for it. But truth be told, I take the checks every time as I travel all over the United States, reminding people of just a few simple facts. That God is who he says, that God does what he does, what he says he'll do, and that we are who he reminds us that we are. And you know, it's so amazing that I have been in states, to some degree, I've never even heard of. I just got to spend 4 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of last week in, well, I keep saying Fargo, North Dakota, because that's where I flew into. And I don't know what you know about Fargo, but all I thought of was the movie Fargo. And so, of course, I had some preconceived notions about some folks in Fargo. But really, I was ultimately in Minnesota, Moorhead, Minnesota. And so I ordered from Jimmy John's, which was in Fargo, while I was at a hotel where I could see Jimmy John's, which was in another state of Minnesota. And I thought that was a little bit tricky. But nonetheless, what's so, so cool is while I get to travel all over the country, I make some generalizations that prove to be true. You know, the very things that we need to be reminded of as people, as people of faith, as spouses and employees and parents and grandparents are the very things that we all need to be reminded of. But then there's some things that I took for granted, and I don't always do research about, you know, a town that I'm going to, because I just kind of assume it's only an hour flight. How much different can they be? My friends, Minnesotans, I think that's how you say it, Minnesotans are so different. I mean, thank God I had 4 full days with these people, because if I had to leave after day one, I would have absolutely deemed my time in Minnesota, Moorhead, Minnesota, an epic failure. So I got to speak on 6 different occasions in these 4 days. I had an audience of multi-generational. Then I had just men. Then I was back to multi-generational. Then I had just women. And then 2 more talks that were, you know, just multi-generational. And so while the dynamic in those presentations is a little bit different, you know, what I would say to women straight on would be a little different than what I would say to men, which is, of course, different than what I'd focus on when there was, you know, a lot of different generations present. But the reality is, guys, truth be told, I'm kind of funny. Like, I think I'm funny. I'm described as an engaging, humorous speaker. And by the first night, I like stopped in the middle of my talk and I was like, that's it. This is not working for me. And there sat hundreds of people wondering what was going to come next. And I guess if you stay tuned, we'll talk about that when we get back. But there are 3 things that Minnesotans have just like us, and they are going to be what we're going to talk about today. So back after the other side of the break, you're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. All right, so there was something new inside of me last Sunday when I traveled off. And can I just tell you guys what's happening in the travel world with Judy Hare? Is I no longer fly high. I am completely not under the influence of anything. And I navigate any airport in the country now like I've been there 100 times. I mean, I confidently get on the plane, regardless of what size it is, regardless of how long the flight is. And God's grace has just allowed me to step into that space in such a different way. As a matter of fact, I slept on the plane on the way there and on the way home. And it wasn't even because I was blasted out of my mind on a pill that makes me completely be unconscious. It was because God has allowed me the ability to just trust him to get me to my destination. Or if something else is supposed to happen, there's just not a whole lot I can do about it. So went off to Minnesota. I knew I was going to be speaking on multiple occasions. Of course, I knew the topic. It was a parish mission. And of course, we're focusing on, you know, sin and mercy and grace and ultimately the forgiveness of God, you know, which those are the three things we're talking about: sin, mercy, and grace today. We're going to save the F word for next week, I think. It might even be a rerun, so we'll keep you posted on that. But anyway, so I got to go and talk about things I'm an absolute expert in, right? Super, super expert in the area of sin and, of course, grace and mercy. So what was so cool is when I got there, I was pretty confident in my space. I mean, I've talked about this stuff. I have these life experiences, and they absolutely thought I could make them relatable. Well, these people looked at me in this church, hundreds of people, like I had two heads, right? Like I was speaking in tongues from another country. Like it was as if nothing I was saying was resonating. And so I had to stop and say, listen, guys, here's the deal. What is going on here? Obviously, you're not finding me funny. And clearly, like I know, and everybody else I've ever talked to thinks I'm kind of a funny person. All right, here's the deal. Maybe you knew this, and maybe you should have told me. People in Minnesota are so stoic that they appear to be aloof and not very hospitable, kind of cold, maybe because they are cold. Now, Bob says the reason they're like this is because they never go out. Like, they never leave their house too much because it's so cold, so they don't have a lot of interaction with other people. Now, I don't know if that's true, because here's what happened. After I told them that going forward, I would raise my hand right before I told a joke so they could laugh out loud, then as I got to know them as the few days went on, I know that not only did I fall in love with these people and who they are, what they value, and just to be in their company was just such an unbelievably grace time that as I told the guy who hired me, like, it's amazing that you pay me for this, but I'm going to take the money. Here's the deal. We talked and we talked and we laughed and we laughed and we cried. And we were pretty much talking and laughing and crying about the very things that all of us tend to struggle with in life. What was so cool about these people is many of them were devout, very, very devout, faith-filled. In this case, it was a Catholic audience. And they really, really believed that God was good all the time, and all the time, God was good. And even though we know that sometimes in our head, I think sometimes we forget about it. And when we watch people go through some things that, you know, to be honest, we're glad it's not us going through it, we often wonder, you know, how is it that they can go through this? So at some point I'll get to some content here, but I just feel the need to share that a couple people that impacted me so profoundly was this gentleman named Cliff. He's about 86 years old, and he took me aside and told me that there's one thing that as he gets older, he gets afraid of. And of course, I asked him what it was. And he said, I'm starting to lose my memory. And he said, well, I understand that's part of, you know, life, and it is what it is. He said, my biggest fear is that the more I lose my memory, that I'll get to the point where I forget to thank God for all of my blessings. Okay, guys, maybe that didn't move you like it moved me, but the fact of the matter is this man, I learned later, in a lot of people's opinion, would find it really difficult to thank God, right? I sat next to a guy named Fran who told me all about the fact that he had just buried his wife, buried his 9-year-old son, obviously many years ago, and went on to tell me of the difficulty that he's had in life. But neither of these guys ever questioned God's presence, God's grace, God's mercy, or God's love. And it was just so incredibly inspiring to be around such people of faith, such godly, not only godly men, but these godly women who just navigate their life in such a way that it's like they know something some of us don't. They remember some things that we don't forget, or we seem to forget. And they were just constant reminders of what a beautiful thing it is to be able to say that we're people of faith. So anyway, as we talked about sin and grace and mercy in this place, it was just so obvious that they shared some of the same beliefs. Now, I want you to know, they loved me. By the time I was leaving, the last guy I encountered was the gentleman who brought me to the airport. And he got out of his car and he hugged me. And he said, I just want you to know I'm a better man because you came to Minnesota. Now, that's not even about me, and I don't, but the fact is I actually get to drive around and fly around and get paid to talk about how much God loves us, to remind people that our sins are never greater than his mercy, and that his love endures forever. And I got to tell you, it does not get any better than that. So on the other side of the show, we're going to talk about sin and mercy and grace right after the break. And it's only because of Greg Cunis at Cunis Country Auto Group that I have the privilege of doing this every Sunday. So we'll see you on the other side of the break. So what an awesome song that Kirk chose from the break. This is your life. Is it what you thought it was going to be, what you hoped it to be? And are you willing and able to turn that lens inward, which I think this show is all about, you know, recognizing that it is absolutely a journey and not a destination. And it's in the journey that we really figure out, you know, who we're made of. And it's just so important to figure out where we are, where we've been, and where we're going, right? And some of us spend a lot of time looking backwards, and I really do feel that the thing that I bring the most to the speaking engagements and the clients I have the privilege of working with is the ability to get past the past, right? I mean, it's just so easy to keep looking backwards instead of just looking back, right, to look forward. And so what's so cool is that the same people came back every night for this parish mission, and they didn't have to come. At one point, you know, there was 10 inches. They got a huge snowstorm when I was there. And at 4 a.m, I was texting the, you know, my client saying, are we still going to do this thing? And he goes, oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. I didn't know if I was going to sled there or ski there or how I was going to get to the church. But what was so cool is when I got there, there was a church full of people waiting to get a message, waiting to hear the good news of the gospel. And it was just the coolest thing. So this one, there's a couple young kids were there. And I think one of the compliments was from this young kid. And he said, you know what? My parents made me come. But actually, I thought it was going to be the worst thing ever. And it wasn't as bad as I thought. So that to me, like, that means I crushed it out of the park for Jesus. Another guy came up to me, an 80-year-old man. As you can tell, there was quite a difference in age and in the multi-generational groups. And this man said to me, you're the best thing that happened to me in 40 years. Now, here's the deal, guys. Here's what I talked about. Sin, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. And so I told him, I sin too much and I give mercy too little. And when it comes to grace, I'm somewhere in the middle, right? I mean, that's probably pretty true of all of us. We sin too much. We give mercy too little. And when it comes to God's grace, we kind of sit somewhere in the middle. And what's so cool is I was able to talk about the very thing, which is sin, right? That sin really does have I as its center. It means like we want what we want, when we want it, with really little or no regard about how what I do affects you, right? When I'm in my sin, the light has become darkness. And that just means I don't see stuff from the same perspective as you might, who's not in a state of sin. And the other thing I like to remind people of is when it comes to sin, right? Sin is the punishment. You know, we're so willing to judge the people who are not, you know, saying and doing and behaving the way we think they should be because they're in the darkness. When the reality is, that is the punishment. Being separated from God in some way, not being in communion with people that we love, that's the punishment for sin, because that is the place that sin takes us to, right? We know that this began in the beginning, right? Adam and Eve, they sinned. And what we get to be reminded of, and I think sometimes in our Catholic faith, we forget to be reminded of this, is that we all fall short. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, right? And it's just so important to recognize that it's not an isolated incident, right? We talked last week, I think, about what makes, you know, this person come out of a situation this way, another person experience the same thing and come out not bitter because of it, but better as a result of it. And, you know, that's what this Lenten journey is about. It's about sharing in the life and the suffering, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and recognize that we know the way the story ends. We know there's a victory. We know that God's ways are just not our ways. And when we stay in something, we get to figure out what it is that we're made of, right? But some of us choose the lesser path, right? I mean, the narrow path is the narrow path. And when we do not choose the narrow path, we choose to live a life that is less than the best version of ourselves. We find ourselves doing some things and in some situations that a lot of times, if we want to be honest, we really did find ourselves there because that's the direction we were heading in. See, and the thing about sin is that when we recognize that sin causes us to isolate, to separate, it is the great divider between relationships and what God has created us to be. And so that's the beautiful thing about God, is he sent this solution for sin in his son, right? To give us the very mercy, right? Mercy by definition, not getting what we deserve, right? That is the beautiful thing about God, and especially in these 40 days of Lent. You know, I kidded around with these people, and whenever I get to speak in certain faith denominations, I have to remind them that for 40 days, we step up our game in a Christian denomination. For 40 days, we just try to pray more, give more. But the reality is, we're really supposed to be doing this every day. It's not just a 40-day stint that we can give more, love more, forgive more. But really, this is a way of life. This is the way it's supposed to be. And if we're always asking ourselves, is what I'm doing moving me closer to Christ or further from Christ? Like, I was reading a book the other day by Matthew Kelly, and it was called Perfectly Yourself. And one of the points he was driving home early on in the book is, we know the next right thing to do. Like, he was trying to say, the theme of that chapter was just do the next right thing. And he went on to unpack the fact that oftentimes when we say, I just don't know what to do, we actually do know what the next right thing is. We might not know the right thing next week or next month or next year, but we can honestly choose the highest and best good. And there are things that just stop us from doing that. So what's so amazing is my kids continue to say, Mom, like, you really don't even have a job. You just drive around and talk about Jesus. And I don't think you make enough money to drive around and talk about Jesus. But you honestly, I would probably pay people to get to do what I do. I was talking with Kurt on the break, and we both said that it's really a privilege to do what you love doing and recognize that it's an absolute blessing to do that. But there, we just all know those people who can suck the life of just out of just about anything and find what's wrong and not what's right. It is by the grace, and I'll move to this subject for just a minute as we close today's show. Grace is that unmerited, undeserved, this thing that God gives us without cost and without measure. And it's said in Scripture all the time, is that we have a chance to go to a place of grace with confidence, knowing that God will meet us there. He will give us his mercy and forgive us. And when we feel so weak that we can't just take another step, it is God's grace that allows us to know that we are the strongest when we find ourselves in the weakest space. And so one of the points I drove home for 4 days in Fargo / Moorhead, Minnesota, was God is so not fair. I made the people say over and over again, God is so not fair. And even though we sin too much and we give mercy too little, and when it comes to grace, we're somewhere in the middle, God is always there on either side, above, below, and behind us, just leading us to higher places where we can see him and we can be him. And I pray that this week, this fourth Sunday of Lent, that you journey towards the cross and that every decision you make brings you closer to that end. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for keeping it hot. And if you're not going to keep it hot, then at least keep it hot. Peace out.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.